how as ministers of the new covenant of God's grace in Christ Jesus our Lord, the Apostle Paul said, we are unto God. We are unto God a sweet fragrance of Christ. Among those who are being saved, and also among those who are perishing. We are an aroma from death to death to those who are perishing, a fatal odor. And to those who are being saved by that same grace, we are a sweet fragrance of life to life. And then he asked this question, and who is sufficient for such a task? O Savior, now in all my need, be near, so very near to me. And let thy word, thy people bless, to find their faith and hope in thee. I give thanks to our Lord for Bill Borders, a dear, devoted, and faithful brother. In the words of the Apostle Paul, I say tonight, dear Bill, I am bound to give thanks to God always for you, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of his Spirit and belief of his truth. Bill was indeed blessed of God with a knowledge of the gospel and with a love for that gospel and a love for God's people. And he graciously adorned the doctrine of God our Savior. He adorned that gospel by his life, by his attitude, and by his faithfulness. He did indeed adorn the gospel. And his dedication and his faithfulness to the gospel and to this church and to this congregation will be remembered by us and spoken of by us for years to come. They said of Abel, he being dead yet speaketh. And Bill yet speaketh and is spoken of. He's God's workmanship, and I do give thanks to God for him. And I say tonight to Nan and to Debbie and to Gary and to Shelley and Brian, to Ethel, John, Geneva, and to all of Bill's brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, we have cause to be sorrowful. I'm sorrowful. You are. We have cause to be. It is difficult. I told the men in the study last Sunday, before we came out here to have a memorial service for Bill's brother-in-law, Arthur Young, It's very difficult to lose such a close friend. And it's difficult to say goodbye, even for a while, to such an important person in our lives. He is an important man. And I don't have words to adequately express my love and regard for him, nor to express how much indeed he will be missed. But I can tell you this. We have cause to be sorrowful, but we have cause to rejoice, Gary. We have cause to rejoice like no other people on earth. Can you realize what we have here? Can you understand what we are dealing with? God Almighty, not some idol fashioned by Jehoiakim's penknife, not some God of imagination, some image, but God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, the living God. Before this world ever began, before he ever laid the foundations of this earth, according to his own testimony, right here in his book, he set his love on this man. He set his affection on this unworthy son of Adam. That's right, before the world ever began. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. He said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew thee. Before you came out of your mother's womb, I knew thee. And I sanctified you, and I made you my child. Isn't that what he said? Before you knew him, God knew him. Before his mother knew him, God knew him. And God Almighty, think about this now, the living God, the eternal God of ages, the Creator of heaven and earth, God Almighty. I'm not talking about this little impotent God that people go down to the church house on Sunday to play games with. I'm talking about the living God. The living God. Sent his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. Born of the virgin's womb. Made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Took on himself the form of a servant. And lived under the law of the Almighty God to work out for this sinner a perfect righteousness so he could see God. Think about that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And his Son not only lived on this earth under the law of God a perfect obedient life, but he went to a cruel cross and there he suffered anguish and agony and death to redeem our souls, to justify God, and enable him to be just and justified. God sent his Son to redeem this man. God gave the glorious pearl of heaven to rescue a sinner from the dunghill of sin. Think about that. And then in the fullness of time, God was pleased to send his gospel like he did when he sent Philip to the eunuch and Peter to Cornelius and Paul to Lydia. He was pleased to send his servant to preach the gospel to Bill 30-odd years ago and to call him out of the darkness of religious tradition. Call him away from dead works and out of self-righteousness to reveal Christ in his heart. God did that. God did that. And Almighty God, through these 30 years, has kept him from falling, kept him from apostasy, kept him from an indifferent heart, kept him from turning back like Demas of old, and gave him blessing upon blessing upon blessing so that he could say, I am what I am by the grace of God. God did that for this sinner. And a few days ago, on Saturday afternoon at 3:10, was it? God told him to come on home. Come on home. Come to the place that I've prepared for you. Come to glory. You realize what I'm saying? If we could just understand, if we could just lay hold of the greatness of the gift of God, the Scripture calls Christ unspeakable gift, unsearchable riches, incomprehensible glory. And that's what we're talking about. That Bill has entered into that unsearchable, incomprehensible, unexplainable, unspeakable glory. by the grace of God. Think about it. To see the Lord Jesus face to face, as no man can look on God and live, but this man can because he's in Christ. To be perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. To know as he has been known. To see, not through a glass dimly, but face to face. He's been taken to eternal youth, eternal joy, eternal peace, eternal rest. My, my. God said, behold now, the tabernacle of God is with me. That can't be. That can't be. Why, he said, your sins have separated you and your God. God dwells in a light to which no man can approach. I tell you, my heart, my soul, my mind is so overwhelmed, so completely overwhelmed that what we are seeing and what we're experiencing here, watching sons of Adam, chosen by God, loved by God, redeemed by God, called by God, washed by God, accepted by God, called away from this valley of tears and darkness and sin, right into the presence of God to dwell forever. It's no small thing. He said, preacher, what do you know about such mysteries? Well, I know what he said about them. And his promise never fails. I've been in touch with the one who does know. Somebody said, oh, if somebody just come down from up there, just come down here where we are and speak our language and tell us about it. He did. He did. But some of you won't hear him. He said, let another come in his own name. You'll hear him. But I come in my Father's name. He came. What did he say about it? Well, he first of all said, heaven's a place. He said, heaven's a place. He called it a place. He said, I go to prepare a place. Isn't that what he said? Heaven's not a misty, uncertain something floating out yonder that is really nowhere. It's a place. He said, I go to prepare a place. And if I go to prepare a place, I'll come back for you. He said, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. They're written in heaven. He said, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Paul said, I was caught up into the third heaven. I heard some things. I heard some. It's a place. Real. It's a place. Tom read a moment ago, if our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, as Bill's has been dissolved, we have a building in a place not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Our preachers are so shifty and can't understand them. What did he say? He doesn't know and I don't know and you don't know. But our Lord speaks plainly. He said it's a place. It's a place. And it's up. While they were observing, Jesus was taken up into heaven. Enoch walked with God and just walked into heaven. Elijah waited on a chariot. Gideon rode into heaven. But it's a place. It's a place. And I'll tell you this, I know this about heaven. My Lord said it's a place. And my Lord secondly said this, that he was the way there. He's very clear on that. He was talking to his disciples shortly before he went to the cross. And he said to them, they were troubled at his leaving them. And he said, now, you let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? You do believe in God. You believe in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. That's what that word is, dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to the cross and pay for your sins. I go to the grave as your scapegoat. I rise as your justifier. I ascend to behind the veil as your mediator. And that's the preparation. Some preacher said it took God 6 days to prepare the world. He's been 2,000 years preparing a place. That's foolishness. God speaks and things come into being. The preparation here is his obedience and his death and his intercession that we might go to that place. I go to the cross to prepare a place for you. You got no right there. You've got no title there. You've got no claim there. You can't stake a claim. You can go out to the west somewhere where nobody lives and stake a claim, but you don't stake one there. He did. He did. See what I'm saying? He represented every one of his people. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I'll come back. This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. And where I am, there ye may be. And Thomas said, well, we don't know where you're going. We've never been there. We don't even know where it is. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. His obedience is our righteousness before God's law, not our works. Our righteousness is a filthy rags. We've never prayed a prayer. We've never given a gift. We've never done a deed with which a holy God could be pleased except under the blood of Christ Jesus. That's just fact. There's none good, no, not one. None righteous. His obedience is our righteousness. His blood, his death is our atonement before justice. He satisfies justice. Somebody said, I just want justice. No, you don't either. You want mercy. You want him to satisfy the justice and give you the mercy. His presence is our intercession before the throne. His suretyship is our guarantee in the everlasting covenant for acceptance with God. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Adam lost three things in the Garden of Eden. He lost life. God said, you'll die. Number one place to get it back, it's in Christ. Adam lost the way to God. God put him out. Put him out of the garden, out of his presence, and put flaming swords at the gate. Said, don't you come back. Christ said, I'm the way back.
And Adam lost the truth. He believed the devil's lies and didn't believe God. And the only way that any son of Adam can ever lay hold of the way, the truth, and the life, which Adam lost, is in Christ Jesus. I'm as certain of that as this Bible is the Word of God. Heaven's a place. Real. Reality. And Christ is the way. And I'll tell you something else I know about it. I know according to God's Word that believers, this believer, believers, when they die physically, they don't die spiritually. They have life in Christ, and he said they'll never die. They have eternal life. But when a believer dies physically, he goes immediately to heaven. Immediately. Churches and preachers have made fortunes. Literally fortunes. On poor, untaught, unlearned, ignorant religionists. Talking to them about purgatory, soul sleep, temporary abiding places. Our Lord said to that thief who died next to him on the cross and pled for his mercy, he said, today
thou shalt be with me in paradise. Who you believe? Our Lord said, at death the body goes to the dust from whence it came, and the soul to God who gave it. Who do you believe? The Apostle Paul said, to be absent from this body is right then to be present with the Lord. I have a desire, he said, to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. When a believer, I watched Bill Borders leave this body last Saturday afternoon at 3:10. I watched him leave, didn't I? I watched him breathe. That last breath, I had my hand on his shoulder. And he said, and went to glory. Peacefully. Presence of God was in that place. As he called one of his children home. Sirs, I believe God, that it shall be exactly as he said. And all of the intellectualism and modernism and liberalism will never change my mind. I believe God, and therefore I've spoken. Tell you something else I know about heaven. I know that believers have a heavenly body. That scripture that Tom read a moment ago from 2 Corinthians 5 needs to be heard. Another thing that people have done, they've preyed upon our ignorance. Fortune tellers and all these sort of folks, you know, have an idea that when our loved ones die, they're floating around here somewhere in a body, breaking mirrors and rattling attic boards and shaking doors, and that's foolishness. They won't wander about here. They have no interest in this world. They're with Christ. They have no contact with this world whatsoever. Can you imagine one of them ever standing in the presence of the King of Glory and then coming back down here to look around? Can you imagine? Can you imagine them ever hearing the heavenly choir and then come listening to us sing? Can you imagine them ever hearing him who speaks and his voice as many waters and his eyes as a flame of fire and his countenance the glory of God, looking on his face and then coming back down here to hear me preach? No, sir. They don't wander about in ghostly forms. Paul said, if this earthly house be dissolved, I have a building. Not made with hands. A house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. In this body of flesh with its infirmities and afflictions, I groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with my house from heaven. If so be that being clothed, I'll not be found naked. And they're not naked, they're clothed upon. They're not disembodied spirits flitting around yonder somewhere with no true form. They conform to the image of God's Son. That's what the Word of God says. What the Word of God says. And then I know something else about heaven. I know this. I know that those who have gone on to glory in Christ, because of Christ, through Christ Jesus. Now, God's not selling lots. Somebody said one time, what kind of mansion you have depends on what you sent up there. No, sir. Your very presence there will depend on who's there representing you. Not what you sent. Who is that? Christ. He's all I need. In him we're perfect. They're perfect in him. There's no degrees of glory. That's another way that preachers have used to con people. Get them to work and give and tithe and sow wind, all these things, so they'll get a reward. Christ is our reward.
God said to Abraham, I'm your reward. Bill's like Christ. He's not interested in yo-yos and silly little old crowns with stars in them. I'll tell you who wears the crown in glory. He does. Christ does. And all of his people are loved the same, glorified the same, made like him. Isn't that what the word says? That's what it says. When he hired the laborers, he paid them all the same. Whether they worked 1 hour or 12 hours, paid them the same. Yes, sir, they retained their identity too. Job said this. Job 19, he said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon this earth. And he said, and I shall see him. Not another, I shall see him. These eyes shall behold him. Not another, I shall see him. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13 this. He said, now we see through a glass dimly, but then we'll see face to face. Now we know in part, then we shall know as we have been known. We'll be the same. Bill Borders, with Bill Borders here, and he's Bill Borders in glory. So he's perfect. His countenance is perfect. He's like Christ, but he's still Bill. And I'll tell you why I know that. Another reason I know that is because people in glory, they sing a song. And you know what that song is? It's a song of praise to Christ in which they say, unto him who loved us. Who's us? Us. And washed us from our sins. Our what? Our sins. Our sins where? Our sins on earth. Our sins in the flesh. Our sins as men. Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins and made us kings and priests unto God. How in the world can I praise him for saving me from my sins if I'm not me? If I'm somebody else or something else. See what I'm saying? You say, well, we know each other in glory. I know you now, and I'll be a lot smarter then than I am now. Well, of course we will. Moses and Elijah came down here and sat and talked to the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses was Moses, and Elijah was Elijah. And they sat and talked to the Lord Jesus Christ about his death on the cross. And they went back to glory. David said concerning his son that died, he said, he can't come back to me, but I can go to him. And you know something? You read the book of Job. Read the book of Job. It says Job had 10 children. I think the numbers was 500 oxen, 1,000 she-asses, and 500 camels. After all this trial was over, God blessed him and gave him twice what he had before. Double. Everything was double. He gave him 500 oxen. He gave him 1,000 oxen, 2,000 she-asses, and 1,000 camels. Exactly double. Now he had 10 children. Did he give him 20? No. He gave him 10. That makes 20. Huh? You read it carefully. He doubled everything he had. Those oxen and she-asses and camels were gone. So he gave him double. Those children weren't gone. They were with God. He had 10 on earth and 10 in heaven. That's right. I wish we'd buy us a Bible and find out what God's saying. I'm determined to tell these people here what God's saying. I told this man, and he loved it. And believed it. Found peace in it right now. Because it's a foundation you can stand on. You can stand on the Word of God. Christ is the object of faith. He's the source of faith. He's the fountain of grace. And the Word of God is the foundation. I believe because God says it, not because I think it. God says it. You say, well, if we know each other in heaven, we have a memory of the earth in heaven,
Will we be married in heaven? Christ said, no. No. You do err, not knowing the power of God, and you don't know the Scriptures. In heaven, they're neither married nor given in marriage. We're going to be a wonderful family in Christ, just like we are here. God's family. Well, will my baby be an infant? Of course not. Would you want him to be? I want my baby to be like Christ. Full grown, mature. Huh? Mature in Christ. That's the goal, to be like him. Not to be a helpless infant, but to be like Christ. We've got to leave our emotionalism and sentimentality and old traditions and customs and get back to this book. Because that's where the joy is. And that's where the hope is. And that's where the rest is. To believe God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Yes, sir, we retain our identity. Christ redeemed us soul and body. He said one day the graves are going to open. He said, preacher, we have a body of flesh in heaven. Yes, sir. That's what the word said. We'll be like Christ. When our Lord arose from the grave, he appeared to his disciples. Well, they'd seen him down on that cross, and they'd seen him buried. And when he came through the door, they thought they'd seen a ghost. That's what they said. Thought they'd seen a ghost, a spirit. And he came walking across the room, and he said, don't be afraid. He said, reach out and touch me. Touch my hands. Touch my feet, my side. A spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And then he said, children, you have something to eat? And they said, some fish and honey. He said, give me some of it. And he stood there and ate before them. That's his glorified body. And that's the body we're going to have. And there's going to be a new earth and a new heaven. God's going to destroy this old earth and old heaven because sin has contaminated both. And he's going to make a new earth and a new heaven. And that holy city of Jerusalem is coming down out of heaven, the scripture says. What would be wrong with this world if God took all the sin out of it? Nothing. It's a beautiful world. My God made it. It's a beautiful world. Trees and streams and mountains and valleys and people. And someday it's going to be populated by new people, all like Christ. The new heaven and the new earth. That's what it says in Romans 8. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth until now, awaiting the redemption of the bodies of God's people. And then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's right. Ah, you see, we were made in the image of God. And though sin has taken us so far down, we still, in some measure, retain that image. That's right. And in Christ, we're going to be conformed to his image someday. That's right. To die no more. I'm going home to die no more. My heavenly home is bright and fair. No sin, no sorrow will enter there. I'm going home to die no more. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I tell you, what riches we have in Christ Jesus. There's no peace and rest in religion. No peace and rest in religious ordinances. No peace and rest in religious works. But I'll tell you, Christ said, my peace I give unto you. Come unto me, I'll give you rest. Find your righteousness and hope and wisdom and life and truth in me by faith. Well, I know one more thing I want to give you, and I'll close. I know this. One of us are going home next. Isn't that right? Out of this vast host of people here tonight,
This congregation will never assemble like this again. Never, never, never. Never again. Old Richard Baxter said, I preach as a dying man to dying men. I preach as one who may never preach again. You hear as one who may never hear again. One of us will be next. I pray to God from my heart that you can die in Christ with a sound and solid confidence and hope as I watch this man die Saturday. And I hope your preacher can stand before you with the same confidence before your body and say the same thing God said tonight. You know, David said, Lord, teach me to number my days that I may apply my heart to wisdom and help me to know how frail I am. Help me to know. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. And this salvation is not found in conferring with human authorities. It's found in Christ Jesus by coming to him, going to him, seeking him, and allow him, not some man, to speak peace to your heart. I want us to sing a closing hymn tonight entitled, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. It's number 187. Our hearts in Christian love, number 187.